Let's learn. The shukach for everybody for coming out, especially on last notice, because I decided yesterday that yesterday in Shacharis with my friend David over here that we're going to do this. So thank you everybody for coming. Thank you everyone for schlepping for Binyama, for schlepping stuff up and schlepping the chairs wherever our delivery guy is. Thank you also for delivering the food. It came just about on time this time. It's really great when it does. Doesn't always happen. That's something we have to thank them for. So in under 24 hours, the Kedushas Hayom, the holiness of Rosh Hashanah, will come in. And a lot of us are feeling like, where did the year go? I definitely feeling where the year go. Definitely where the summer went. It's definitely not normal to all of a sudden just come back from after school for 3 days and then walk into Rosh Hashanah. But that's one of the merits of a modifiable lunar calendar, that the holidays will travel a little bit and we'll reset it in a couple of months, and it'll stick for a year or two, maybe three, and then we'll start sliding all over the place again. But at least you know when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, basically, unlike Ramadan, because nobody knows when Ramadan is. I think there's a Facebook meme also. Nobody knows when Ramadan is. Or Eid al, whatever the...
It just keeps moving forward 11 days every year.
Exactly.
Only the Jews know when Ramadan is. It moves up 1 month every other Shana.
There we go. There you go. So, or you wait until somebody else posts about that it's over, and then you copy their post. That was the joke on Facebook, or Twitter, or Instagram, or something. something. But l'maaseh, the truth is that Rosh Hashanah sneaks up on us, and it's as funny as it is. I saw this brought in a shmooze. From Rav Shor, from 17th Street, and he quoted Rabbi Blager that the formation of Yontif of Rosh Hashanah is that it jumps up on you. So I want to share with you two pieces about that, and then we'll jump forward a little bit. It says Ki gam etzem kedushas yom tov hazeh hu bli shum hachana, that this Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, comes without preparation, sort of sneaks up on you. Welcome. Come grab something to eat. It sneaks up on you. Like it just comes out of no place. Shakom mo'adim yishlam hachana mikoidim. But Pesach, asiyas korba me'er of Yontif. Pesach, we know, in order to start Pesach, besides all the preparation that we have to do, the cleaning, the cooking, the buying, the shopping, the korban also, the sacrifice had to be prepared. You wanted to eat your korban Pesach, you needed to go and you needed to prepare it ahead of time. You needed to get your lamb and you had to buy it, and etc., etc. Also, korban Pesach tam biker dalad yamim koidim. You also had to make sure that there was it was not blemished at all. B'chag ha-shavuos yimei ha-sfir ha-machana l'chag. And for Shavuos, right? The Pentecost, it's always fun to say Pentecost, required the 50 days of preparation of Sfiras HaOmer before we could enter into Shavuos. Chag HaSukkos, Hachana B'yamim HaNarayim Shalafanav. You know Sukkos is coming because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were before Sukkos. And therefore you notice that Sukkos is around the corner because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were right before that. But Rosh Hashanah ain't shum hachana. There's no preparation for Rosh Hashanah whatsoever. Ulazeh nikra bekesa liyom chagenu. And therefore it's called the kesa, the hidden day of our Yontif. It was even more drastic, by the way, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and when there was a court, because our calendars were a lot more dynamic even than it is now, that you can say, wow, Rosh Hashanah is early this year. You can't say like Thanksgiving is early this year, because Thanksgiving is always the last Thursday in November, or we could say, you know, Labor Day was early this year because it was like the 2nd of September. That felt pretty early. I usually thought it was like the 9th. I always felt like the 9th was a good day for Labor Day. Or maybe the 7th, the 7th or 9th. Those were good Labor Day days. But it was always the first like Monday in September. So it came out a little funny this year. But Rosh Hashanah Pashut, it could sneak up on you. Rosh Hashanah, what would happen, being as how Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the Jewish month, and back in the day, how did they make new months? They didn't make new months by looking at their Apple Bank calendars or checking the app on their iOS system. If Moshe was here, he would appreciate the call out, but he's not. Or checking it on your phone. What would happen is we know that the way that the months would get set up was based on people seeing the moon and then running all the way to the court in Jerusalem to say, hey, I saw the new moon. And as a result, that's what would make Yom Tov. So imagine you go to bed and you wake up the next morning, guess what? It's Rosh Hashanah. It could totally sneak up on you like that. It totally, like, out of the blue, I went to sleep yesterday and, you know, we were somewhere at the end of Elul. I sort of lost track. You know, definitely when you're a shepherd or a farmer, I guess, or a computer programmer, you could lose track of time like that. You know, somebody studying for LSATs or MCATs also, or the DATs or whatever they're called. You know, you could sort of lose track of that if you're studying Orgo. But you wake up like, oh my gosh, it's Rosh Hashanah. So it's not just that we have this formulation in terms of the way the Yom Tov used to come out, that it could literally sneak up on you. Now, Zach?
Why couldn't you consider like Tisha B'Av or the Shiva Nechamta kind of like a lead up?
You could. But at the same time, the Be'etzim of Rosh Hashanah is that it's supposed to be a little under the radar. And we're supposed to feel like it caught us unprepared. You're right. The Shivta Nechemta is definitely, when one understands the conversation that is taking place, the Yalkut Shemoni brings a conversation of each one of the 7 weeks of consolation following the fast of Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the Chorban Bayis, the destruction of the temples, first and second, the Jerusalem. Jack, if there's anything that you're not getting, please just stop me and I'll explain. Okay? Okay, very good. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose anybody. Anybody else can also tell me that they're not getting in. So the 7 weeks of consolation following Tisha B'Av, following the calamitous day of the ninth day of the month of Av, there's a conversation which takes place about it. That ultimately it's supposed to bring us into that. But still, be'etzim, in the construct, in dealing with the psukim that we say of Rosh Hashanah, that the verses describe Rosh Hashanah as the day of the hiding moon. And it's kind of funny if you're going to establish a calendar based on the moon and a holiday is going to be based on the appearance of that first moon, the day when that moon is hidden, it's going to be pretty difficult to meet that holiday.
Good question.
Yes.
If this is the way we're supposed to approach Rosh Hashanah,
right,
why do we pile on something we've been hugging over the years, adding to our preparation for it? Slichos, month of Slichos.
Slichos and month of Slichos are really...
Shofar.
All of those, if you look in the Pirkei Reb Eliezer, are not about Rosh Hashanah. They're about Yom Kippur.
Well, the Gemara says the love is about Yom Kippur.
It's how... La David Ori V'Yishi Ori Rosh Hashanah V'Yishi via Yom Kippur. You can find them downstairs or upstairs. I did not realize there were going to be so many people. Come on in. There'll be chairs in a second. It's okay. Everybody is. No, we're bringing more down in a sec. Come grab a plate. Get something to eat. But the Tekiah Shofar, if you look in the Pirkei Reb Eliezer, this is all based on, and the, even the Pirkei Reb Eliezer that think it's the 46th chapter, 45th chapter of Pirkei Rav Lezer, that all this construct is leading up to not Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Kippur. Because it's all in preparation for receiving the Luchos Shnios, the second tablets, that the sin of the golden calf has been ameliorated, not the introduction of the new year.
So what does the month of Shofar have to do with Yom Kippur?
So according to the Pirkei Rav Lezer, it says that they shouldn't make the mistake and forget it, either forget that Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain, or lose track of when things are coming, or accidentally make a golden calf and worship it, because that happens a lot. I mean, you have a track. I'd say 46 or 45. The reason why it's a two-day holiday is because they fixed it so that you couldn't wake up in the morning and like, oh, hey, it's Rosh Hashanah, and the Levium would get all messed up with their song and that throws everybody off. So that's actually the Gemara. That's that's not me making late sunnis. That's really what the Gemara says. The Talmud says because we didn't want the Levites to get all messed up with their song, and because that everybody puts everybody's avnet in a twist. Twisting everybody's avnet.
They did lose count the first time.
Absolutely. That's what made the Takana. But there's something about Rosh Hashanah that it sneaks up on you. And even though nowadays we have calendars and we have the 7 weeks of consolation that lead us from Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah, still there's something about Rosh Hashanah that we feel a certain, like, I didn't get it together. I would imagine that there are very, very few people who actually can say that, you know what, I really was ready for Rosh Hashanah. As Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says in the Gemara Sukkah, I've seen the B'nai Aliyah, I've seen those who are of upstanding character, and they are few. So all of us are really experiencing this on one level or another. To some of us, it's a calendar check. To others, it's an intense ontological existential problem that, oh my gosh, another year is gone, and what's going to be with me, and what's with my life? What is man? A broken shard of pottery, a breath in the air, dust in the wind, and how did this come around again? To different people, it means different things, but to each one of us, we experience this feeling to different dimensions. We experience this to different dimensions that, oh my gosh, it's Rosh Hashanah. In lots of different, or like my wife has called and said, my sister said I have to go get all the funny stuff we eat before the meal. Where can I get a ram's head at this time of the night, right? Or where can I get a fish brain? Nowadays, we don't eat that. But her sister might be interested in something like that. So Rosh Hashanah is built like that. He continues. He says, "To which a higher beracious habria blew shum inyan she afsharas lomar she has sibel habria." Just like he says, even before creation happened, before the Big Bang, if you would, or before the Or Ein Sof was mitstamtem, for those of you who like a Kabbalah joke, there was no way of knowing what was going to happen next. It just happened. Ki haya kol yesh me'ayin muchlat, because everything was totally ex nihilo. Ex nihilo, I think it's ex nihilo, but nobody speaks Latin, so it's okay. Rak mitzad Chazdo Yisbarach, right? I said that. Chazdo Yisbarach Shemo Chafetz Lahetiv. Just like Hashem Baruch Hu wanted that it should happen, He wanted to do good. God wanted to do good for us, and that's why He made a creation. For Kedushas Rosh Hashanah, who's Zichron LeYom Rishon, and Rosh Hashanah is all in memory of the first day. Zeh Hayom Tchilas Maasecha. This is the day in memory of the first day, right? Hayom harat or haras olam, not with a samech, with a taf or the saf. The hor shechasadav yizbarach shemol lenafshes Yisrael b'yom hazeh, af shelo mitzad shum hachan v'zoros shiuchol le'amer lav mitzad zeh b'ha Yeshua. In the same way, just like Hashem wanted to do good for us. He created Rosh Hashanah. He created this day without any siwa, without anyone else's factoring in, without any reason that we can fathom. This is the Yontif. This is also that day of judgment. And within this day of judgment, there's going to be bracha, which is coming out. Which, by the way, is a wild thing. Because on one hand, we hear in the tefillah a little bit from Unasanu Tokif, you know, who by fire and who by water, who by this and who by that. And it gets a little scary, right? And in Zichronos, that says Hashem remembers everything, and on each of the countries, which one of which nation will get this bracha, which nation that bracha. So it gets prepared. It's pretty tumultuous. But then at the same time, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that we enter into Rosh Hashanah, we see this lahalacha, that on Rosh Hashanah, if it's a day of judgment, one would think that you would go and, you know, you would hire yourself a defense attorney, and you would you try to make yourself look small, and, you know, make it look like you haven't slept a bit, that you're losing sleep, you know, and look contrite and take it easy. But what do? Some of us have already take a haircut, take a shave, put on nice clothing, eat good food. We celebrate. That's kind of funny if you think that if on one hand it's a day of judgment, so then, you know, what's with all the partying? Like, and it's not just us, you know. Nehemiah, quoting Ezra, said to everybody, like, go eat sweet things, go eat fattened foods, go give gifts to people, don't cry, ki chedvas Hashem hi me'uschem, because your strength is rejoicing on Yantif. That's a wild thing for some day of judgment, you know, a pretty big party atmosphere, right? Because it says that we're sure, we have this unbelievable optimism that's mandated by Jewish law, that's mandated by halacha, ki barachamecha anu betuchim. And we'll say this, please God, in Slichos tonight or tomorrow, those of us who are saying Slichos, the penitential preparatory prayers for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going to say, because we rely on your mercy. We make no claims about it. That ki barachamecha harabim anu betuchim, that we are relying upon you, period. And we're sure that Hashem will help us make it all come out. That's an unbelievable thought. It's an unbelievable thing for a day of judgment. But this is it. Just like the world was created ex nihilo, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, in an outpouring of love that came from someplace we can't even fathom the reasoning for. Just Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He just wanted to do good for us. He just wanted to do good and made a world of opportunities for a person to take advantage of and to achieve and to be. Similarly, this anniversary brings with it all of those implications as well. Just like a regular anniversary of our wedding brings with it all the feelings of love and dedication of both parties to each other, right? The husband and wife come and they think on their anniversary, this is the anniversary of the day where we got married, and we recount the love that brought us together in the first place, and all the, you know, sometimes even some of the funny dating stories that we had together. All of this is awakened in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our minds by something like this. So to the anniversary of the first day brings with it the emotions of Hashem wanting to do good, not wanting to smite us. I love that word. Not wanting to smite, but wanting lahatif, wanting to do good, wanting to give good, wanting to give bracha. And as a result, ki bracha mecha harabim anu betuchim, because we're relying upon your great mercy. And we go in wearing yantif clothing. We don't go in wearing sackcloth or like wearing like a subdued dark, you know, dark suit. Any more subdued than our regular dark suits, but whatever. a subdued dark suit with a very, very conservative tie. But we wear Yom Tov clothing. We wear yantif clothing. We wear clothing which demonstrates that we are relying upon Hashem's mercies. That's a fascinating thing. It's an unbelievable thing. And this is in remembrance of that first day, Zichron LeYom Rishon, of that first day when Hashem wanted to do good for us and wanted to give us bracha and wanted to create the world. There's I believe it was a Medrash, maybe it's a Zohar, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Mistakil Hayisi, Kesha Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Bro Asadam, that I was watching, whatever this means, I don't know what this means, but whatever this means, I was watching when Hashem wanted to create man. You know what that thought of wanting is? That wanting to create man means the moment so imbued with potential and dreams of possibilities. So, you know, at the beginning of anything, when we start anything, every beginning that we've ever had, that we'll ever have, anytime we start something, it's imbued with such an unbelievable romantic sense of what can be and what I like it to be and what the plan is going to be and how it's going to be good, it's going to be great. And because it's those feelings that make us do whatever it is that we want to do. Without those feelings, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't do anything without being totally enraptured and in love with the potential of those moments. And that's Rosh Hashanah. That's that feeling of Rosh Hashanah, of that beginning that we're holding on to. Those beginnings, that unbelievable beginning of the beginning. Rav Huttner says in one in several chapters in Pachad Yitzchak that Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of free choice. Because it was on that day that Adam Harishon, however we come to this calculation, is on that day that Adam Harishon had the opportunity to choose. What he did with his choices is another matter, but he had the opportunity to choose. And that opportunity to choose brings with it all of those hopes. And from there, we're going to move into the next piece that we need to talk about in the shiur.
What was that first sefer?
That was that Reb Leibel Eger's Torah Zemes.
Yeah, it's not that way. Whatever points that out.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's the anniversary of free choice. But that concept of free choice comes as well.
Or the anniversary of original sin.
You wouldn't look at it that way in the beginning.
So original sin, when you mean the first sin, as opposed to original sin meaning that that you need somebody else to ameliorate it.
Right.
If you want to say this first sin, that's fine. If you want to say this, what's it called? That's somebody else's religion.
I thought we
didn't
believe in original sin.
That's what the joke was. That's what the joke was. You got it. It means you got the joke. It's like Michael. So I want to share with you a quote that I saw from Rav Kook, and like everything that Rav Kook said, poetry and tears. Thank you. Kishemargish ha'adam sheneharas harbe beruchniyot. When a person feels that much has been destroyed in the spiritual world, yeda shehigia lo torah the binyat binyan chadash, he should know that the time has come to build a new construct. Yoter na'ale v'nisgav v'yoter kayamu mefor, higher, bigger, greater mimasha haya berishona, than what was at the beginning. V'itchazek v'itametz v'tikun ma'asav u'derachav, and he should strengthen himself with the repair of his actions and his ways. V'seder hagun, in a proper way. V'ometz levav, the strengthening of his hearts. V'chefetz atahor, v'lev male oz v'simcha panimit, with a heart filled with joy, strength, and inner Simcha. Why? Ki tov yashar Hashem, as David HaMelech said, because Hashem is straight and He is good. Al kein yorech hatayim badarech, He guides those who have erred on their path. Yadrech hanavim b'mishpat, He sets the humble on their way. V'yameda hanavim darko, and He teaches them His way. So, in the writings of the Arizal. It's quoted at the end of Tanya also that on Rosh Hashanah the world sort of runs out of juice, and so to speak, it's re-energized. When we talk about a new year, it means that everything that was before is cut off. There's an asira. There's a separation, a painful separation of things that were, and then we're given the opportunity to build a new world. And that through the days of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is all about the story of us reconstructing our world. Either it's a world that was, it's a world that, you know, without getting into the details of what's written there, but it's a world of separation from what was and a rebuilding our own new world. When we come into these days and we look and we say, you know what, on one hand, I feel like it wasn't what it could have been. There was a lot of potential that I felt, and I didn't materialize all of my dreams. And I feel like there's a lot that's gotten a little messed up. But Rosh Shlomo Freifeld used to say that the most beautiful words in the English language were "and yet." So, and yet, this gives us the ability right now to start over again. Right now, to begin to rebuild our world, to rebuild from what was into a new dimension of time and space, into a new dimension of our life, a new dimension of these 10 days, bringing us into Tafshin Ayin Dalet, where we look behind us and we say, oh my gosh, how did Rosh Hashanah sneak up on me, and I'm just really not ready, and how could it be? And I'm not ready for a host of different reasons. I'm just not ready. But then at the other hand, I look forward and I say, wait a second, but now this presents me with the ability to build a whole new world. Cue the Disney song. it's a dazzling place you never knew, you know? Nowhere to tell you no, or where to go or say you're only dreaming, right? But think about it in depth, what that means. We all have dreams of what could be. And there are many, many things we call manias in Hebrew. Many things that hold us back from becoming, being, and people tell us, like, nah, you can't do that. You're living in a, you know, you're living in a dream. Rosh Hashanah brings with it not just the standing before Hashem and accepting His malchus, accepting His kingdom, but also to see, you know, on one hand, yeah, that I wish it could have been better, but on the other hand, okay, we're gonna turn things around now and start over again. The last week, 2 weeks ago, we read the parsha of the Tochacha. A huge amount of curses, and if you don't do this, this bad thing is going to happen, that bad thing is going to happen. And the Gemara says the reason why we do this is that so we should end the year and its curses and begin the year and its blessings. Right? Tich l'shana v'kiloseah, tach l'shana u'birchaseah. The Sephardim have a beautiful, beautiful song. Nisach Sephard also has it, but they don't sing it. The Sephardim, they all get together and they sort of like sing it together, and the Syrian tune is particularly moving. I don't know the other ones, but the Syrian tune is particularly moving. Of the song of let the year end with its curses and begin with its blessings. You can Google it. They have the Syrian Pizmon project online, but you'll see it in the Sephard Machzorim. You might even see it in like Eshkol Ashkenaz Machzorim, or
Ashkenaz prints it but doesn't say it.
There we go. Probably in the front, because it's either the front or the back. Nobody does it, so if it's in the middle, like, you know, then you're okay. But like an artist from Moxer might have it. But we'll sit there and we'll like taste what can be, and feel that, you know, have that feeling, the year and its curses, and the, you know, whatever happened, the herus, the destruction that was, the pain that was, And then let the building commence. Because we begin building immediately from Rosh Hashanah. We begin building immediately from that point. We begin the construction of our whole new world right then and there on Rosh Hashanah. With our ability to say HaMelech, with our ability to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Chovas HaYom. Rosh Hashanah is not as much a day of judgment as it should be more a day of recognition. The judgment comes as a result of not having the recognition. But the goal of Rosh Hashanah is not to, as it were, to pleading for your life. It's more to recognize the king. It's to meet the king. It's I want to meet the king. And the tefillos that we say, all of those uvecheins, right? Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu kol ma'asher barasa. Hashem, please reveal yourself. That we should have the awe, right? All those uvecheins, every single uvechein. We start off the Shemona Esrei after the brachas that we know already, because we say them all the time. Then we say three uvecheins. These three uvecheins are really the guts, the ikker of what we're asking for on Yom Tov. This ikker is the uvecheins. Uvechein tein pachtecha. Uvechein tein kavod. Uvechein tzaddikim. Those three uvecheins. Hashem, reveal yourself to us. Hashem, restore Yerushalayim to what it should be. At the very least, it should be the capital of Israel on everybody's map. But even more so, Simcha le'artzecha. Simcha le'artzecha. Bring joy to your land. Sason le'arecha, rejoicing to your city. Utzmichas keren le'david avdecha. We want to see the Mashiach tzikinu also. Right, all of that uvechein tzaddikim, and then we'd love to see when the steerer, the fundamental ontological question of the righteous who suffer and the wicked who succeed. We'd like to see that answered also. Uvechein tzaddikim yirov yismachu, right? But all of a sudden there'll be a clarity even to the problem that plagues all philosophers. Rasha v'tov lo v'tzadik v'ra lo. What we're asking for. This is so we can take the feeling of not being prepared, of being confused, of how do we get over here? How did all this happen? Is all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah, I don't feel prepared. What's going on? I don't know. I've made a mess of things. Look, I'm so irresponsible that Rosh Hashanah has managed to sneak up on me. And we said, no, that's part of the way it is. And no, at the same time, that when I see that things are a mess, the truth is, don't look at it as failed opportunity. Look at it right now as it's time to build a whole new world. It's time to create something new and something big. It's time to create something. A little bit like Lowe's, let's build something together. Let's build something together. Let's make a new start. So I want to read with you a Rambam that Rav Shader, the author of JLIC, the sponsor of tonight's dinner, he founded the program that we work for and that we all love. That what I'm doing here, what Shira is doing here, by extension, together as we're on this adventure of JLIC at Brooklyn College, and sponsored dinner. But Rav Shader, we had a conference call last night, a bunch of the educators, and Rav Shader, he told me the following diuk in the Rambam, this fine point in the Rambam in Maimonides' code. It's one of those things, when you hear a really good shir, most of the time it's astoundingly new. It's something that you knew, and you're so stupid you didn't see this before. So they don't tell you that, you just feel like that at the end. So, famous Rambam. Now, it's not a famous Rambam because the person who's giving the class knows it and you don't. But here is a famous Rambam, a famous quotation from Rambam, because we've all heard this at one point or another in our lives. We've all heard this quote from the Rambam. Afal Pishat Kia Shofar Barosh Hashanah Gezeiras HaKasuv. Right? Even though everybody knows, you know, Shlomo Kabach said, you know, whenever you say everybody knows, it means nobody knows. So even though everybody knows, right, the Tkias HaShofar is a mitzvah, and we do it because God said, blow the shofar. Blow Shaita, blow. Right? Blow the shofar. Remez Yeshua. There's a message here. What's the message? Kloima, to say, Uru Yishena Mishinaschem, Vekitsu Nirdami Mitardamechem. Wake up, people who are slumber. Get up. Man, why dost thou sleep? Chipsu b'maseichem. Search over your deeds. Chazu b'tshuva v'zichru boreichem. Do tshuva and remember your Creator. Elu ha-shokachim es ha-emes behevli hazman. Those who forget truth in the futility of time. V'shogim kol sh'nasam behevel v'reik. And those who waste their years in futility, emptiness, that will not help and will not save them. Look to your soul. So go away from all the things that are bad. Go away from all your bad deeds and start doing good stuff. Right? So we've heard this before. This is a famous Rambam, right? I think we all agree this is a famous Rambam. Yeah? It's a pretty famous Rambam, yeah? We've heard this one, right? We've heard this one? Zach, we've heard this one, right?
Yeah, it's famous. If you follow the famous Rambam, then I know which one you're going to
be. Exactly, right? That's famous. However, here's the kicker. Lafikach, therefore, Sarach ko Adam Shiyira Atzmo ko Shana Kula Kilu Chatzio Zakai V'Chatzio Chayev. Therefore, man should always see himself as half chayev, half guilty, and half innocent. The whole world, the whole wide world, is half guilty and half innocent. Chet chata echad, hari hechliya es atmo ves kolam kulo lakaf koeva v'garam lo hashkata. One person does one aveira, and he can destroy the world. Asa mitzvah achas, does one mitzvah. Hari hechvias atzmo v'eskol ulam kulo l'kav schos v'garam lehen tshuva v'hatzal. Person does a mitzvah, and all of a sudden they've created the entire world again and saved the world. Zehu shenemra v'tzadik yisod olam. That the righteous is the foundation of the world. She tzadik atzmo v'hechvias kol olam v'tzilo. That he's the one who saved all the world and kept it going. Right, so these are two famous Rambams. We've all heard part one, and we've all heard part two at one point or another. Part one we've heard because, you know, it's a famous one that everyone hears when you learn about the shofar. What does the shofar mean? It means it's a wake-up call, wake up from da 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 da. We've heard that. The second half, we've heard also, oh, everybody's got to do tshuva. Why do you have to do tshuva? Because, you know what, if you do one thing, then as a result, you can bring the entire world hatzala, right? You can save the entire world by making one choice. Because imagine if everybody was so equal. Besides the impossibility of that, how can the entire world be so equal of bad and good? All of us here, for the most part, it could be I love all you guys. So I couldn't imagine all of you are that neck and neck, right? Of all the good things we do versus all the bad things we do. Let's think about, you know, we don't shoot people, we don't kill people, we don't like steal, we don't burn down buildings, we're not violating the Geneva Convention. Like, how bad are we, Lamaisa, right? That's why the Rambam says, this is why you have to view your life as it's not that this is the reality, BTW. But watch this, and this is the most unbelievable thing. I don't know about you, but I always thought of these two quotes from the Rambam as two separate quotes from the Rambam. Guess what? They're in the same paragraph. they're in the same
connected with the Lafikach.
Exactly right. They're in the same paragraph. That maybe it's just me that I never thought about this before. But I said, wait a second.
It's because no one actually learns Hilchos Tshuva.
It's not true. I've been through Hilchos Tshuva many times, one chapter per day, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. But I never stopped to think about, wait a second.
Lefichach. It's one sentence.
Exactly. I mean, even in the book, it's sort of like on two pages. It's like one of those like paragraphs where you lose the... that's why my wife always tells me, write in short sentences, because otherwise you lose them from one beginning of the sentence to the next sentence. Right? So don't lose anybody like that. There are certain great people who write a lot of big words, and you can sometimes lose the train of thought in the sentence. So Rav Schrader said a fantastic idea last night. He said, if you read it carefully, you see that we have several factors in the beginning of this Rambam. Number one is that we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? Number two, the meaning of Rosh Hashanah, of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, is to wake up and to do tshuva. Number three is that a person should do tshuva, and this should be their intent. That had, they are half righteous and half wicked. Number four, when we read the Rambam even more carefully, it says that this should be a person's thought every day of their life. That's another part that I think that I missed over. I don't know the rest of you, but this isn't just between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that maybe by doing one thing you can skew the entire world and save the world. But he said this is every single day.
So then what's so special about Rosh Hashanah if you should be doing it every day?
Similarly, if we know we have an obligation every single day to remember that God took us out of Egypt, so what's special about Passover? Rather, that Rosh Hashanah is the headquarters. Rosh Hashanah is the basis, the headquarters of this awareness, that we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah to remind ourselves about what the priorities are in life. This in turn fuels the repentant contemplation which one can have every day of their life. But Rosh Hashanah is the headquarters of that day.
Starting the engine.
Right? So therefore he says, we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to wake ourselves up. Lefichach, every day we have to think of ourselves in this way. We have to think of ourselves as the entire world is teetering on the brink of destruction. And every day making that choice can be positive or negative. But how will I have come to the reflection that this is what the situation of the world is? Before I knock over the book and everything all over the place and destroy the world. Only by blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and having that clarity. But when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden we get that clarity that there's a king in the world. We get the understanding that the master of the world runs the world, and therefore every day I have to have this idea. It's a readjustment of living with this new reality, of this new Weltanschauung, of this new mindset.
Zeitgeist, the world, right?
Yeah, Zeitgeist, spirit of the times. Whichever one you want. If you like Weltanschauung, use that one. If you like Zeitgeist, use that one. Otherwise, you say, the point of view, use that one. This new point of view, this is engendered by the shofar blowing. Recognize the master of the world. What we were just saying is that despite the fact that we're waking up, we're saying, oh my gosh, what just happened? The whole year is gone. Everything's just like, bang, it's over. And how did that happen? So we turned to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook said to us, when you see a mess, when you see destruction, when you see it's time to rebuild a whole new world, right? The Rambam says, how do we do it? To Tekiyas HaShofar, it's very clear. He gives us, third chapter, fourth halacha, Hilchos Tshuva, hear the words of the shofar and wake up. And therefore, this will fuel your everyday building a whole new world with you, right? Can't reach the note. I'm sorry. I thought about seeing it. I can't reach that note. Right? It's like they like hold it for a while, right? But that building this whole new world is with this God conscience, is with this understanding, is with this new perspective from waking up from your sleep. That's what's going on over here. That, yes, it snuck up on us, but now we have the opportunity to wake up. Now we have the opportunity to start to be alive. What? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to smite everybody, right? There's no smiting. Melech chafetz b'chaim. I want to be a lebediker. That means alive in Spanish. No, I'm kidding. In Yiddish. I want to be alive. I want to be life. And if you look at the end of the Shemona Esrei, the end of Musaf, that said that we have this entire little period before we finally get to the end, where we say, Hayom, Hayom ta'atzin, Hayom t'varchinu, Hayom t'gadlenu. And it says it begins because Hashem, you have life, and we just want life. We want to be alive. We want to be alive to our friends. We want to be alive to our family. That's just alive biologically. Although we'll take that. But we want to be alive. That our relationship should be alive. That our method of interacting is not through computer screens, but to actual people. We want to be alive. That we be aware of what we're doing and not just going through the emotions. We want to be alive in our relationships with the people whom we care about. We want to be alive. And as a result, just the biggest thing that we could just say as we're davening all the Shemona Esrei, when we say, Zochrenu L'chaim, just say, Chaim, everybody, when we just say the word Chaim, just think about it, just to be alive. But what can I do with that life? You don't want me to die. You want me to be alive and be Mekadesh Hashem with every facet of my life. A person gets together, we're in college and we sit down and we get together for a shiur and have some good food and we get together and we learn a little bit. It's alive. We make a bracha and, you know, we're alive. We go to work to support our families and send our kids to school, right? And buy kosher food. We're alive. This is all life. This is Chaim. It's a Kiddush Hashem when we do all of this. Well, all the mitzvahs are for us to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. And that there's only way that we can do mitzvahs is if we're alive. It don't work when we're dead. L'ha mesa mihaluka, right? To be alive. To be lebedik. To be alive. We can take the opportunity to create a whole new world. Told the story, I don't know when I told it. I think I told the story on Thursday, but I'll tell it again because it's very important. It's okay because Moshe and Ari and Mike were here. And Itai was here also. So we'll all review it because we need to review it tons and tons and tons of times. So it's brought by the Slonim Rebbe, the new Slonim Rebbe, not the old Slonim Rebbe. Oh, maybe I didn't tell it. Midrash says in Tefillah La'ani that it says, listen to the poor people. Midrash Tehillim says to a generation that has no Kohen Gadol and has no Beis HaMikdash and has no Navi that should be Mechapir for them, that should bring atonement for them, what does a generation like this have? Tefillah Achas, there is one Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Nishar Lahem. There's one Tefillah that they have. Please, don't let them be an embarrassment and don't embarrass it. Please listen to it. What's a one tefillah? There's a lot of tefillahs that we say. It's going to be a whole, you know, have a whole big book, you know, and stuff at the beginning and stuff at the end that we don't say, but it's still a whole huge book. People are going to count out all the pages. It's a huge book. What do you mean, one tefillah? One tefillah is that I want to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be alive. I want to be real. I don't want to go through the motions. So he tells us a story, he gives us an allegory, he says a mashal, whichever one you want to, however you want to say that same phrase, that, you know, there were towns in Europe that were supported by one rich guy. So one rich guy, like, underwrote the entire town. just like you see different school yeshivas that have one person's name on them. So they had towns like that also, but they didn't change the name of the town for the most part. And in this town, there was a poor guy. And the poor guy gets online, gets his hand out, and leaves. One time, the guy gets back at the back of the line, gets up to the rich guy, sticks out his hand. The rich guy said, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you, but you were just here. I just gave you already. And the poor man said, yeah, you're right. But every time before, I stick out my hand and I can't look you in the face. This time I want to see your face and look you in the face while you're giving to me. The mystery of Rosh Hashanah, of as we're asking for life, the real life, not just as the Tikkun HaZohar says that we're like little dogs saying, hav hav, give me, give me, give me. Like, give me health and give me parnasa and give me hatzlacha and help me find a shidduch and this and that and everything, which are all good things. We all need all of these things. But I want to be alive and connected to you while I'm going through life. I want to be a lebediker. I want to be alive. I want to look you in the face and allow that to enchant me. Allow that to take my breath away, to inspire me. I want to be alive. I want to look at you in the face. There's really nothing else more than we can say in terms of trying to get ready, despite the fact that it's been so long. You know, all of us have had spiritual experiences probably at one point or another in lives. We're really excited, but then we say, you know what, look, now I'm here, I'm doing this, and I'm just not inspired, and you know, I've let things go for too long, and what is there hope for? I don't know. So this is the moment that we turn around and say, you know what, right here, right now, I want to be alive. Right here, right now, I want to be alive, and let it intoxicate me again. And let it take my breath away. I want to have a zest for living. A zest for life and for living it, and have a year of blessings, of material and spiritual blessings, and of inspiration of what to do with all these material and spiritual blessings. And then in the immortal words of Naomi Shemer, quoted by Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, O tire kama tov yihye bashana haba. See how good it's going to be in the coming year. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Yantif. Does any, yeah, Myrav.
Sure.
Who are the two cover over there who we didn't see?